Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're going to be talking about The Fantastic Four, First Steps. Hey Adam, can you do the theme song for me real quick?
Fantastic Four. I don't know the melody, so I'm just kind of going off the top of my head to Fantastic Four. But that happened a lot, right?
It did. It was the main part that I wanted you to do. Honestly, I'm just glad it happened.
Oh, right on.
Do we have to do the rest of the podcast?
No, I think we're done. See you next time.
We do have to do the rest
of the podcast. Come on.
Let's talk about it.
We
gotta do the rest. Okay, so the Fantastic Four is out. And it is out within a summer that is... You know, more than one thing for superhero movies, okay? Yeah. The MCU has competition now. It just can't keep skating by, making weird, bad movies, and getting away with it, if that's how you'd like to describe what's been happening, slash, you know, have they been getting away with it?
They're bad.
I don't know.
They're bad.
Quantumania, I don't know how you felt about it. I thought it was weird and kind of bad.
There were some great parts, generally weird and bad.
Multiverse of Madness. I don't know how you felt about it. I kind of felt like it was weird and bad. And Wanda's a bad guy. It doesn't feel right the whole time. Yeah, it was kind of weird and bad.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing. Great parts, pretty much bad.
And again, as I started this with the DC is here now. Okay.
Yeah.
James Gunn and his pals. Him and Nathan Fillion are here to stay, and they're going to keep on making movies, and they made Superman, fuck, and it came out 2 weeks before the Fantastic Four, so it's just sort of a situation where you can't not compare them.
I know, and you saw Superman. I have not seen Superman yet. What were your feelings on it?
Oh, it's great for a character that I find... to be the most annoying historically fictional character of all time in Superman, because he's boring. Because when you can't lose, you're boring, unless you're One Punch Man and you feel weird about it. But Superman historically, he hasn't felt weird about it because he's an alien who just has to.
Let's
not do this. I was about to start complaining like about the one thing I really hated about Superman, but
don't,
we're going to have
to
do it on another. Yeah, because you haven't seen it.
I know. But I want to see it.
Other than that, it's a truly great movie, and we'll talk about later what one I think is better. But first, let's discuss Fantastic Four in a non-spoilery fashion.
Sure.
So, you know, this is going to be sort of a mixture of gush and complain, but when you take Fantastic Four and you break it up into its pieces, I think the first thing you got to talk about is the cast, the main cast. Overall, I love them. I think this is the best Fantastic Four movie that's ever been made. I don't know if that's a very high bar.
It is. The bar is very low, but yes, and definitely the best casted and best like portrayed versions of these characters, I think. It just makes me feel nice and warm. And I think that also was chalked up to the aesthetic of the whole thing, which we'll also talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can get into the aesthetic right now, right after I say, you know, Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Evan Moss Bachrach, they had a lot of chemistry. They all had group scenes that were great. They had scenes between all four of them crisscrossed in a scene at some point. So you got to see everybody's specific relationship. I think if I had to err on the side of complaining, I would say Ben Grimm was kind of underused and not given the meat that Reed or Sue or even especially Johnny at the end was given. So, which is a bummer a little bit, because Evan Moss Bachrach is like the person I was most excited about seeing in this movie. And there is something about not seeing his face most of the time, slash the relative underuse of the Thing slash Ben Grimm in the movie, that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, and I, it could also be because I only have the movies that we have seen the Fantastic Four in, and like Ben's story is much more highlighted there, where he's like actually super depressed and was bummed that he lost his wife and family due to this situation, and people condemn him for being this way and make fun of him, and he's like dealing with that. And I thought that we were going to get a little bit of that, because I think Eben Moss Backrat would have done that so well. I think after seeing him in The Bear and like all the emotions that he can portray and showcase on screen, I think he would have been amazing at that. That being said, how his character was for real while underutilized, I think he also nailed that, like the cool, like friendly, everyone loves me kind of guy.
Yeah, but I do agree with you. I sort of wish we got a little shade of, some people think he's a freak, and that makes him feel bad.
Right, right. And like, yeah, exactly. But then again, I don't think that the whole aesthetic of this version of Fantastic Four that would have fit as well into, just because everything is like, these people are hailed as heroes and people absolutely love them. I mean, like the kids make fun of them kind of, but yeah.
Yes, and also that applies to Superman, by the way. Like, you have to choose a large part of like the aesthetic, non-visual aesthetic of the movie is, how does the outside world feel about these folks? And they take, I think, a really nice big swing on both Superman and Fantastic Four here. Just the Fantastic Four side of, like you said, that everybody kind of likes them because they're being pragmatic about it. And they're the only reason, for probably if you threw a few situations, why anyone's alive.
Right, right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they are the Avengers of this Earth, it seems like.
Yeah. And then the visuals. So they're, other than like one or two times where the CGI was shaky, one of which I'll get into when we get into spoilers, the retro vibe of the visuals, I think, was really, really cool.
My God. It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. The whole, I mean, and this is also, it's a little bit of nostalgia because I love Fallout. And this is very much the same like vibe as the Fallout universe. And I just love the kind of like nuclear future power of look of everything, the very mid-century modern look of everything. A lot of oranges, a lot of textures and colors, and it feels high end. Like their living room, the sunken living room with the freaking hover fireplace. Excuse me. Beautiful. Yeah. Want it.
Right. And there are just so many world building details because this is another world entirely. They can just make really interesting choices. And I haven't read any, at least for a pretty long time, Fantastic Four comics. So but I know that it's a group of four superheroes that have a lot of stories. So they really could have gone a lot of different ways with this. And I'm glad they did this. It did feel like there was like a latent campy optimism that they didn't have to do, but I'm glad they did. I liked the idea of it, and it kept the movie afloat a lot of the time.
I think that's, though, like, I mean, I know it's a different universe, different world, but I think it kept on like the 50s and 60s like positivity people had, you know, and like post-war, you know, technology revolution. People were excited to do things, and you know, that definitely came through. But I love this aesthetic so much. I really am so psyched they really leaned into it. I mean, every single piece of technology they touched had that, you know, retro modern feel. It was so good, dude.
This was also expertly directed by Matt Shakman, who created WandaVision, and then WandaVision went really well, and everybody. Like the majority of the folks who watched it liked it. And I assume Kevin Feige was like, okay, you're going to do a lot of stuff for us now. I mean, he is a prolific director, like Game of Thrones, Succession, 49 episodes of It's Always Sunny, The Boys, House. Like,
what?
I know, like, absolutely, like one of the most talented people on Earth. And I think that showed through. I just think this the movie had a voice, a very specific voice, and it took some risks. And doing both of those, or having both of those things, usually only happens when you have somebody leading the charge who is dope at their job.
Yeah, wow. He did The Boys. He did Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, which I really liked. That yep. was fun. Wow, yeah, that's why I had no idea he had done so much.
And then just last thing on the, before we move into some spoiler times, I was annoyed at the plot armor that the yeah. trailer for Avengers Doomsday gave these folks. This is, I suppose, a spoiler. Like, okay, if you're listening to this podcast, I think you've watched the videos of Doomsday and all the chairs. I'm going to assume that. Yeah. I apologize.
I don't think it's a spoiler. I don't think it's a spoiler at this point.
No, all the chairs had all the names of all the people in all of Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they're going to be in a movie after this, which means they don't die, which means that both movies have this weird plot armor. Like, when they were in the incinerator in Thunderbolts, I was like, yeah, well, I mean, nothing's going to happen. It's stupid that they stopped and are having eight different conversations in an incinerator, but like, other than that, no, they're not going to die. And that's the same problem that Fantastic Four had, even yeah. more so, though, because a certain character actually passes away. But yeah. you're like, well, I mean, they can't actually pass away. They have a chair.
Yeah, they have a chair, and they're already slated to be in the next movie. And the only way I could see that would work is if it kept true, that person did pass away, and they were coming back in flashbacks or something. But that's cheesy as hell, so.
Yeah, that'd be so lame. Anyway,
yeah, it would be lame.
Other than that, I really loved the movie. It was just a really fun time. To watch.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it wasn't like 3 hours long. It was like in an hour, what was it, an hour 57 minutes or something, nice and tight. It was good. It was really fun. I never felt like it was lagging. It kept it going. Yeah, I loved it.
No, yeah, it could have overstayed its welcome, but it didn't.
And, it, you know, in true retro fashion, every time that a new movie or show comes out from Marvel Studios, they always like do a cool version of the Marvel Studios logo. And
yeah.
this was no different. It was like the Cinerama logo from the 50s and 60s. Just everything about this aesthetic I absolutely adored.
Yeah, I'm almost disappointed that we are probably going to lose it, because we're going to put this like aesthetically pleasing world into our Earth, which sucks.
I know, it's a bummer.
Anyway, come back and we'll talk about spoiler times. Okay, so Fantastic Four, the first steps. So going back and just talking, I want to break down the cast here, at least the four main characters, very quickly yeah. before we get into the overall story. So, like, who was your favorite out of the four main characters, and why?
You know, I think a lot of people are going to go to Reed or Sue, but I actually really liked Johnny. I liked his whole progression. I liked how, you know, we thought Johnny Storm was like this heartthrob jock kind
of
like lady.
He is a heartthrob,
baby. He is. He's beautiful. But in this one, he is that, but he's smart and he's tactful, and you're like, actually has something to give, and everyone just kind of shoos him off until he does something cool, and then they're like, oh, he actually can provide value other than flying around on fire and shooting fireballs and killing me in Marvel Rivals a bunch. Fuck you, Johnny Storm.
Sure.
But I really just liked his character. I think the guy who played him was a fantastic cast, no pun intended, and really brought him to life, and I just really loved from the beginning to the end how he maneuvered every situation he was in.
Yeah, Joseph Quinn, from being a guard at Winterfell to being in Stranger Things, a character they should have kept around longer. And then in this, he was really great in this, and I agree. I think he was my favorite as well. He had character growth within an hour and 57 minutes. Like, and also, yeah, he was being sold to us as a stupid jock, they very, very quickly were like, no, he can translate alien languages, so that's not stupid now, is it? And you're like, no, it's not.
Joke's on you.
Right. He's also having all the major conversations with the Silver Surfer, Shia LaBeouf, and like the Fantastic Four would not be able to do anything unless they had a guy who could fly. The guy who can fly has to do so much heavy lifting for Fantastic Four.
Quite like, literally, too, in one scene, he lifted Ben Grimm and flew him around.
Truly, like, I do think power level-wise, Sue Storm is obviously the most powerful in the Fantastic Four. She can do some, like, space wizard shit, and no one else exactly is doing space wizard shit other than Johnny, her brother, who can fly and is on fire. So... but again, like every time he started flying, I was like, oh good, something's actually gonna happen or like get done, because like when Johnny stands on business, flies around, some shit gets done.
And you know, I we were talking about how Ben Grimm was a little underutilized, underdeveloped, but I actually think that although we saw a lot of Reed, we never really got to see his powers. They didn't really highlight it. It was very visual. I mean, lots of visual gags, but
I mean, isn't his powers being stretchy? And during the Galactus fight, he was being stretchy?
He was being stretchy in the final fight, sure. But like we saw all the other powers and abilities much more than his. I mean, we saw him stretch his arm to grab something across the lab, or stretch his arm to continue writing on the blackboard instead of moving his physical body over. Like, that was the sort of stuff we got with him. And we know he's like the mastermind behind it all. He's incredibly intelligent.
He's the smartest, perhaps the smartest character in the MCU, like period of story, according to the comics.
Right, exactly. But like, he also has this ability to be able to stretch his body into wild distances. And like, that was one thing I liked about some of the original ones, is like they used it to like, he stretched his entire body under the like gap of a door to get in somewhere. And like, just like things like that. I know, I feel like it could have been like ridiculous in this version of it, but I think a little bit more using his powers would have been cool. But either way, I think that's a very difficult, you know, issue that I have. It's not that big of a deal.
I just think they nerfed his physical powers because they were pretty focused on him being so smart.
Yeah, and the you know what they were able to accomplish with these transported things around the globe was pretty wild.
That's what I was about to say. A lot of the plot, like not so much the story, but there was a lot of plot that hinged on Reed being smart. So they had to show that, because the transporty of the world, the transporty of Galactus, like all of that stuff is just Reed being like, I've got an idea. And you're just allowed to do it because he's the smartest guy on Earth. Is that a little cheap? Sure, but it's fine. And but I do agree, the biggest detriment to that is you kind of nerf, hey, this man is pretty stretchy. Although I did really like when Galactus almost ripped him apart. And if it was Invincible, it would have actually happened. In fact, it did happen in Invincible.
Oh yes, that's right.
It was gross.
Yeah. That would have been wild. But like, also in the other comics in the other movies, and maybe in the comics, like he can like stretch to a very, very long distance. Like this one, he didn't seem to be stretching all that much. Is there a limit to this version of Reed Richards?
Yeah, he doesn't stretch enough. Agreed.
Yeah, he needs to stretch more.
But as we said, you know, probably the most powerful Fantastic Four member is Sue Storm, because she has the strength of all mothers.
Yeah, she's got mom strength.
She has mom strength. And that is like the crux, other than Reed made up all the shit that can happen because he's real smart. It's a story about, you know, Sue Storm is pregnant, and they actually kind of tackle Franklin, their child, as a character, and they let us in on a thing that is going to probably be pretty important heading into Doomsday, which is that Franklin's just straight up a god.
Yeah, and right.
Galactus saw that immediately and was like, oh my god, I've been eating planets for a millennia. I am so done and so over it. Franklin, You got to start eating planets so I don't have to keep eating planets.
Oh, I thought he was going to like eat the baby and like that was his source of power.
I think he wanted Franklin, you know, a singular being. So, and as Galactus is too in the MCU, which there aren't many Nexus beings, he just kind of wanted to have him do the work so he didn't have to anymore. He was like, my shift has been so long. I'd really just want to kind of take a nap, Galactus said. Galactus is pretty chill.
Yeah, that reveal on the when they were in space at on his ship or whatever, like that reveal of the difference between the four main characters and Galactus sitting on his chair was crazy. So I saw this in XD at a Cinemark, so like the bigger version of the screens, and it was just giant. It was huge.
Yeah, Galactus is a big old guy, and he eats entire planets because he has to, I guess. That's what he feels.
It like pumps it into his suit. It's a weird program.
And the guy who mocapped it / voiced it, I think, did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
The only complaint I have with Galactus is the final fight. When he's walking around New York City, I actually, until he was walking around New York City, thought he was bigger.
Yeah, same.
He was.
Yeah, same.
And that was a little disappointing.
It was disappointing, but something that I thought was really cool about Galactus and just like, you know, production information is they used a practical suit on this guy. Like what you saw in the movie was a real costume he was wearing for when they captured him.
That's dope.
I know. That's so cool. And I'm like, gosh, you see all these Marvel movies and all of the characters are on a mocap screen stage with green or like the white and black dot uniforms. And it just like kind of takes you out of it. So he was actually physically wearing the suit, which is very cool.
And then last but not least, probably my favorite, a lot of people's favorite portrayal in the movie was Julia Garner playing the Silver Surfer / Shia LaBeouf. And as comic book bros will know, there are basically two versions of the Silver Surfer, the dude version and the lady version, Shia LaBeouf. And because they were doing the like mother's love is the most whatever. Because they were doing that, they chose Shia LaBeouf, and right on, man. I think the CGI on Shia LaBeouf was really good. I liked her eyes. I liked how they made her hair look. I think it was pretty clean, which is why, you know, like, when the weird CGI baby was kind of falling through, like phasing through his mother, I thought was kind of like, fix that. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But, you know, Julia Garner's speech at the beginning, which I learned was her first day on set when she's like wild in mocap and 30 feet or however many feet up on a crane, just she's incredible. And everything she's in, she's the best part of Ozark. Inventing Anna was great. She was great at that. Everything she's ever been in, she's my favorite part about it. And this is true also for Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I really liked her character. And this is also one reason why I like Johnny Storm too, is because their little like relationship, I guess, if you want to call it, you know, nothing happened, but like their scene partners, you know, when they were on screen together, it was great. Like him trying to understand her, and then like, you know, all these little one-liners he throws in where he's talking about, oh, this is the surfboard separate from the suit,
right?
Like he said that a few times, just like, yeah, I really love that. And I think her playing like a serious version, but also like very receptive to like compassion, you know, towards the end of the movie. It was great. She's excellent. Really liked her.
Absolutely. I mean, their interactions were my favorite as well in the whole movie. So if you had to give Fantastic Four a rating from 1 to 10, what would you give it, my dude?
I think that I would go maybe like an 8, 8.5. I would put it up there, and I think it's due in part to the aesthetic of the movie. I think it was so well done, and the cast was so well casted. It got a lot done in 2 hours, but because it was only 2 hours, there were some things that were felt a little rushed, and it just is what it is. I would rather it be a little rushed than have it be another 3 hour slog where it doesn't feel like the pacing's good. So like they didn't go too much into like that. I mean, they did a little bit, but going into how they built the teleporters across the entire world in such a short amount of time, like they touched on it, but like everything felt like it went so fast with some of these objectives that they're doing.
Well, yes, and because they were writing them off as, well, Reed thought it up. And that,
right, exactly.
That can only happen so many times before you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Right.
He thought it up?
Right.
Okay.
But I think, you know, maybe, I think if there was maybe another 15 to 20 minutes to maybe expand on a few key scenes.
Give me an entire scene with Ben Grimm and what's her name? Natasha or something. So
yes,
actually like finish that one out. I don't know. I felt like there should have been one more scene there. I feel like there should have been another Ben Grimm Reed scene where maybe we like actually saw more of both of them simultaneously as they're like supposed to be best friends, because that's not how I was. Like, I didn't feel they were best friends. There was
no,
like they did it. I remember it's the way like they did Black Widow and the worst superhero that's ever been made, Hawkeye. In but like, you know, in the first Avengers, when they were doing like, you remember Budapest very differently. Like, at least we had an idea that these people have known each other for a long time and they have a lot of shared memories. I don't think we got that or as much as I wanted from Reed and Ben Grimm.
Yeah, or at the very least, they could have expanded the pre-superpowers version of the four people. You know, as they're maybe training for space travel. And because we got it at the beginning, but it was really just a montage of clips of them, you know, training in spacesuits. And we actually get to see Evan Moss Backrat in human form. I think I would have liked maybe 10, 15 minutes more of that, where you do see the camaraderie between the brother and sister, Reed and Sue, and Ben and Reed.
Oh, maybe a flashback with Pedro Pascal and Evan before they went up and he changed into the thing. So he had like something meaty to do where we could actually see his face. That would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been great. So I think because of that, I think while the timing was good, it never felt like it was a boring movie. I think they probably could have added about 15 minutes and I wouldn't have been upset about it.
Yeah, I give this an 8 out of 10. I feel as though I would do 8.5 if I wasn't kind of plot armor spoiled again by the doomsday chairs. I think if I was sitting there and I was like, Sue Storm might really be dead. They say she's dead. Like, I think if I had that, maybe 8.5, but yeah, like we've been talking about all the stuff, all the small complaints in a overall movie that, again, I really enjoyed the entire time. Like the experience of it was really fun, and but there were those like weird nitpicky moments that are fine, I think, because they are, we're in phase what, 6 now.
Sure.
They're sort of resetting the MCU is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we get a new version of the Avengers and Thunderbolts, which, by the way, I think I give Thunderbolts definitely like 8.5 or 9 out of 10.
Thunderbolts was wonderful.
I think do you like Thunderbolts better than Fantastic Four?
Oh, see, I think they're right about the same for me. I would give them both between 8.5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think out of the three movies, like the three superhero movies I've seen in the last like 6 months, I would probably go 1 Superman, 2 Thunderbolts, 3 Fantastic Four. Okay. But they were all great, thankfully. And again, it's just like weird, small, nitpicky shit. But it's, again, I think a little bit fine. Because they're doing the reset stuff, because we are leading towards Doomsday, we see Dr. Doom at the end in a post-credit sequence. It seems as though he's going to steal Franklin. In fact, that's probably why the Fantastic Four get on a ship and follow Dr. Doom across the universes to go find their baby, I assume, is what is going to happen. And then we're all kind of like, we're going into Doomsday, which needs to be interesting because it's not where we're exact. Like Secret Wars is what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And Doomsday is about to be really like the bridge to Secret Wars. And Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four were like the appetizers to the bridge to Secret Wars. So yeah, that's all great as long as it all makes sense. And then in the middle of this all, we're also going to get a Spider-Man movie that's street level. And oh, I mean, if they can pull that off and yeah, then they can pull Doomsday off. These are tall orders, though. This is asking a lot of movies that have suffered from, you could call it, superhero fatigue of the last few years. But
for sure,
I don't know, man. I think it's just if you make bad ones, people aren't going to like them. And
yeah, there's a lot going on. And I, where I'm sitting at is, as long as the movies are fun and make sense, and I don't say like that is stupid. Like if I don't say that, I'll probably enjoy it. Like I'm probably going to like it, but there are some that I just like where you see the trailer, you're like, you know what? I don't really have to see that in theaters. Fantastic Four felt like a movie I wanted to see in theaters. And I'm glad I did. Like it's same with Thunderbolts. Like it just felt like, you know, like you said, a reset to the MCU. I think these two deserve to be seen in the theaters on the big screen, you know, blockbuster movies. And they did deliver in their main set pieces at the end. So if they can do that for Doomsday and Secret Wars and Spider-Man, like I'll be fine. But I might not rush out to the theaters to see some of these.
By the way, I know I just said it goes Superman, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four. For the main set piece at the end, the like the third act set piece, I would actually rank them Superman, Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts. Although the Thunderbolts set piece did have that little girl disappearing, which was very funny, but Sentry was overpowered. They were never going to win that fight. At least there was an opportunity for the Fantastic Four themselves to win a battle. Even though it was with a Galactus who I thought was not tall enough to ride the Empire State Building, but like either way,
they even said that in when the trailer first launched too, people were like, Galactus looks a little small.
Yeah. Just compared to when we meet him first, he's so big. But, oh, by the way, Johnny Storm, he just was trying to sacrifice himself over and over again, dude.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's just trying to make a legacy.
Well, maybe he will be able to one day after that same actor sacrificed himself in Stranger Things. Are you more excited for the MCU or the DC universe going forward?
Well, seeing as I haven't seen Superman, so I really only have like the Penguin to compare it to. I've always been a Marvel fan over DC. I don't think that's going to change. So I am more excited to see what's going on with Marvel. I'm more familiar with the characters for sure. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to like the DC reset with James Gunn. I think Superman looks awesome. I'm excited to see it. I want to see it before it leaves theaters. I just don't resonate with the DC quite as much. I don't like the superheroes quite as much. Like, Peacemaker is just like, I didn't really care about Peacemaker.
I loved Peacemaker.
It was fine. I don't know, man. Okay. Like, it was like, I liked it and I'll watch season two for sure. But yeah, I feel like there's more weight to what happens to the characters in the MCU just because of how they've structured it for all these years.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, we don't know what the DCU's version of Batman is yet.
Right.
Don't know what, like, that's really going to be, are they going to involve the Flash at all? I honestly hope they don't. When are they going to bring Wonder Woman in? Are they going to bring Aquaman in? Like, they have all these questions, James Gunn does really, to answer. And I'm here for all of those answers because you haven't seen Superman yet. By the way, you should go see that.
I am.
But once you see it, I think you'll be more, be closer to where I am, which is just like, okay, what are you going to do now? That was cool.
Yeah, and I agree. But I think with the DC stuff, like we've gotten so many versions of all of these heroes, right? Like the only one in the MCU that really got multiple versions, and it was because of licensing, was freaking Spider-Man. Like we've had the same Iron Man, we've had the same Thor, we've had these same characters building these ginormous story arcs where the DC just feels very disjointed. And I'm excited to see what James Gunn can do because he's done some of the best MCU movies. But I think... just based on the superhero stack, I just will lean a little bit more on Marvel, I think. I think I like their superheroes better.
Listen, man, I'm the biggest Superman hater on Earth, and it was good. Listen, if he, James Gunn, that is, can pull off how this Superman and a Batman live in this same, in a same universe, in a shared universe, yeah. The only real reason either of those characters really ever worked is because they were kind of in separate properties, separate titles, and they almost never crossed paths. In fact,
right.
When you had Batman versus Superman, that's a dumb fucking name for a movie. One of them is a goddamn space wizard, and one of them is a rich guy with a slingshot. So, like,
yeah.
It's stupid. But if you can take those two characters and make them interesting next to each other, you're going to be the first one to do it in a very long time. And I'll be on board for whatever you choose to do next. But I also agree. I am so psyched for Doomsday. I did describe it as like a bridge earlier. I just hope that it has to be a bridge to Secret Wars, because Secret Wars is like the most famous consolidation / reset event that the MCU really has. Although, you know, if you're a comic book person and you know better than I, please let us know. But I'm sure you will. But we're leading
Let me ask you one thing about the DC side of it.
Okay.
So we watched the Penguin. You've seen Superman. Like, does the Penguin fit in this new version of DC now that you've seen both? Like, does it make sense that exists?
Yes.
It does.
And here's why. And I don't think a spoiler for Superman, because if you've seen the trailer, I think you know this. Like, Superman, in a lot of the past versions of it, were portrayed from beginning to end as like an unkillable god.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it makes all street level stories worse by proxy, like by comparison, right? It's in fact the exact thing I was talking about with Spider-Man, where like, okay, so Franklin in Fantastic Four is like straight up a god. Doctor Doom is pretty close. We got another Nexus character and Galactus. Like, we're about to get these very, very, what are we even going to do with the fucking Celestials, by the way? How are you going to figure that one out, Kevin?
Yeah, right.
how are you going to retcon that Eternals happened?
Anyway, I think the Eternals is it still canon?
It has to be, yeah. But like, unless Kevin Feige comes out and he's like, "Our bad." But the point of that is that this new DC universe, the most important thing it could have done was make street level movies not irrelevant, which is what's happened in the MCU, just because it's been around for so long that you got the space wizards and you can't take the space wizard out of the can and put it back in. So like with this version of Superman, I think it opens up a really large lane for street level stories still being interesting, even in a world he lives in, which is why it's good at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. And I am very open to the new DCU. I never really cared for the DC movies. Like, Batman's fine, but like anything else that happened, like, I hated all of the like the Justice League stuff. Like, that it just was not good. And you know, I've always been a Marvel fan, so of course I'm gonna go with the Marvel side. But like, I want to be like convinced that the DCU is here to play, and they do it, and I think James Gunn can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be convinced when you see Superman. So
psyched. I'm psyched, and I love the cast that they got over there. Like, just everything about it. Again, it's set up for success the way that they kind of lean into the camp of Superman a little bit, it seems. I like that. I appreciate that.
And the whole Robert Downey Jr. being Dr. Doom thing, I still don't know.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about it too, but there is a Doctor Doom Tony Stark story out there, so are they going for that deep
they
cut?
They said they weren't, but they could just be lying. It would be weird, any version of it that's not like that kind of thing. I don't know. Both of these, the MCU and the DCU, have something to prove here. It, as less and less people go out to the movies. Like, yeah. Thunderbolts didn't make money. And
Which is wild,
because it was so, great. So good. But, like, Wikipedia, the Fantastic Four, first steps. Let's go see if this fucker made money. And
it did. Yeah, Fantastic Four and Superman are poised to be right in line with each other. They're very, very close.
And that's awesome.
I'm so awesome. I'm psyched for superhero movies again that aren't freaking annoying and bad and felt repetitious. Like Ant-Man Quantumania was not good, man.
It was not. Also,
it was so bad.
Huge side note here. Everyone should go to the movies and see The Naked Gun, or they won't ever make a comedy ever again. Anyway.
That trailer was so good.
It was really great. And
it was really good.
Seriously, there's a chance that if people don't go see it, a studio comedy will never, ever be made in the next, like, decade. So,
are you going to see The Naked Gun in theaters?
No, probably not. Anyway, thank you for joining us here talking about The Fantastic Four. Adam, can you tell the people where to find us on the Erna?
Yes, we can find us on the internet at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You can get all of these podcasts early and ad free, and some exclusives peppered in when we have time to do them. But we also read all of our patrons' names at the end of the episode. And you can put whatever you want. So we'd like to thank our current patrons: Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Something Something Epstein List, Clementine Pennyfeather Best Name,
what?
Brent Ginn. Right. Whoa, Brent Ginn.
Blast from the past.
Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickels, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butternickels, for being our $5 a month tier patrons, which is the Clementine Pennyfeather Best Names patron tier. So that's interesting.
Wait, Adam.
Come on, Clementine Pennyfeather Best Name. Join the actual tier.
Do you even know what that's referencing?
No, I don't, because he was before me, but I understand a little bit.
Wow.
It had something to do with Westworld, right?
Oldie. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oldie, but a goodie. That's fun.
Yeah, sure. Please also follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Podcast or the HBO Boys Pod. Threads, Instagram, TikTok. I'm very active over on Threads. Interact with me. Comment, subscribe. All those fun things. Tell us what movies that you're watching, what movies that you liked, and tell us how you liked these movies, and we'll talk about it, because that's what we do. Anything you want to add, Ryan? Do we have anything coming up for next week?
Oh, dang, I didn't think about it until right now.
If I can see Superman by next week, I'll do that.
Yeah, let's do Superman.
I don't know if I will be able to.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's say this. Maybe we'll do Superman, and while we wait for another TV show to come out, you can join our Patreon by joining our, and then join our Discord and tell us what you'd like us to watch and do a podcast about. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds great. You should do that.
Oh, okay. Hey, I know this is asking a lot of you. Honestly, this is pandering. Honestly, this isn't even fair to the audience. Honestly, I don't care about any of that. I'd like you to do the theme song again, please.
Fantastic Four. Do 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 do
do do do do
do do do.
Fantastic Four.
That was great.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.